Have you ever come across a financial story that almost sounds, well, too good to be true? The kind where a company, after years of struggling, significant losses, suddenly pivots, executes flawlessly, and begins to soar with really impressive profitability. There's a distinct thrill, I think, in witnessing a genuine financial turnaround. This idea that, you know, diligent strategy and surgical execution can completely reshape a company's destiny. Well, today, we're diving deep into Power Solutions International, Inc. Most people probably know it as PSIX. It's a company that's been quietly orchestrating one of the most dramatic financial comebacks we've seen in the industrial sector in quite a while. Our mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward. Unpack the fascinating and, let's be honest, sometimes precarious journey of PSIX. We're going to extract the most important insights from this stack of investment analyses, company reports, market data you've sent our way. The goal is helping you get a shortcut to being truly well-informed about this really intriguing case. And right off the bat, we need to introduce the central tension because it's truly remarkable, almost paradoxical.
We're looking at a company with a P&L, its profit and loss statement. That looks like a rocket ship. I mean, it's soaring. A staggering 42% revenue increase in the first quarter of 2025, and now achieving nearly 30% gross margins. That's huge. Yet, despite this operational triumph, it's facing a critical going concern warning. This is a formal disclosure stating that its primary debt facility is mature in just a few short months, August 2025 specifically. This really sets up the entire deep dive, doesn't it? Okay, let's unpack this.
It really does. What's truly fascinating here is precisely that juxtaposition you just laid out. On one hand, you have the story of robust operational execution, a strategic pivot that's clearly paying off in spades. The numbers on the income statement are, you know, objectively impressive. On the other hand, you have a balance sheet that just screams immediate risk, a potential liquidity crisis looming just months away if those debts aren't addressed.
Right.
It's a really high-stakes scenario. It illustrates in stark terms how deeply intertwined operational excellence and financial stability truly are. A company can be brilliant at what it does, but still be, well, undone by its financial structure. Hmm. Our goal, then, is to understand not just what has happened at PSIX and facts and figures, but why it matters for anyone trying to make sense of a company's true health and, you know, its future prospects. We'll delve into how they achieved this operational turnaround, the powerful market forces they're riding, their competitive positioning, and then, crucially, how their financial tightrope walk influences everything else. It's a masterclass in business analysis, really.
Okay, so let's start with the basics then. Who exactly is Power Solutions International, PSIX? At its core, PSIX designs, engineers, manufactures advanced emission-certified engines and power systems. They pride themselves on what they call a fuel-agnostic strategy, which means they offer integrated solutions for a variety of fuels, natural gas, propane, gasoline, diesel, mainly to global OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. On the surface, that sounds pretty standard for an engine company, right? But this is where the plot thickens. What truly makes this story compelling is that PSIX is in the midst of this massive strategic transformation. Like, really massive. They're actively moving away from a business segment that caused a lot of headaches, specifically the lower margin, higher warranty risk transportation market, you know, on-road engines. Instead, they're focusing intently on a much higher growth, higher margin area power systems, especially for the booming data center market. Think of it less like a minor course correction and more like a tech company suddenly realizing its old, cumbersome software is holding it back and deciding to pivot hard into artificial intelligence, completely overhauling its core product and business model. It's not just an incremental change. It's a fundamental business model overhaul. They're aiming for a different kind of revenue, a much healthier margin profile. It's corporate agility in action.
Absolutely. This isn't just a slight adjustment, like you said. It's a fundamental reshaping of the company's very DNA. While PSIX technically operates as a single integrated segment for reporting purposes, the strategic shift within that segment is profound. They distinguish themselves by tailoring these highly engineered turnkey solutions to global OEMs and end users, and they're meticulously meeting stringent environmental standards from agencies like the EPA and CAR, that's Environmental Protection Agency, and California Air Resources Board. This level of customization isn't trivial.
Yeah.
It's actually a key aspect of their value proposition. It lets them embed themselves deeply within their customers' product lines, makes them more of a partner than just a supplier.
Okay, so they become quite sticky then.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the numbers really tell the story of this pivot very clearly. The power systems segment, that's now their primary growth engine and strategic focus, it surged from representing just 49% of net sales in fiscal 2023 to a commanding 68% in fiscal 2024.
Wow, 49 to 68% in 1 year.
Yeah, huge shift. And this growth trajectory continued, even accelerated, into Q1 2025, driving nearly all of the consolidated sales increase. Meanwhile, over that exact same period, the transportation segment collapsed from 16% down to a mere 6% of net sales.
16 down to 6, okay.
So you see the swap. This strategic exit from the on-road transportation business is crucial because that's precisely where a majority of their historical warranty issues and associated costs stemmed from. To be blunt, the transportation business was, well, a bit of a problem child, riddled with lower margins and higher warranty claims, which often meant significant financial volatility. By de-emphasizing and formally retreating from that segment, they actually ceased selling on-road emissions certified engines as of January 1st, 2024. PSIX has structurally altered its baseline for gross margins.
Oh, okay.
They've basically traded some overall revenue for higher quality, more predictable profitability. It's a deliberate de-risking of their business model. It's a testament, really, to the power of ruthless focus on high-margin, high-growth segments, even if it means shrinking parts of your top line initially.
Which is hard for companies to do sometimes, shedding legacy businesses.
Very hard. But they appear to have executed this masterfully, and their product portfolio really underscores this fuel-agnostic approach. They offer engines from a compact 0.97 liters all the way up to heavy-duty 88 liters across various fuels, natural gas, propane, gasoline, diesel, and even emerging solutions like biofuels. For the power systems segment, which is now their bread and butter, we're talking about sophisticated electric power generation sets, or gensets, essentially large industrial-grade backup generators, as well as custom-designed genset enclosures. These systems serve everything from emergency standby power for critical infrastructure to prime power for continuous use, demand response programs, even microgrids.
Right, those self-contained power systems.
Exactly. And, as you noted, there is a critical and rapidly growing focus on backup power for data centers. They require incredible reliability and uptime. The industrial segment, on the other hand, covers off-highway equipment, think forklifts, various agricultural and arbor care machinery like wood chippers, industrial sweepers, construction equipment. And as for transportation, like we said, significantly de-emphasized, particularly with that formal retreat from selling on-road emission-certified engines. This decision to exit a market where they faced intense competition, lower differentiation, higher risks, to double down on their strengths, It really speaks volumes about their strategic clarity. One notable point on their operating model is their heavy geographic concentration in North America. The U.S. in particular accounted for a significant 88% of their net sales in 2024.
88%, okay, that's high.
It is quite concentrated. While they have a diversified customer base across their various end markets, which is good, there's also an element of customer concentration risk. Their single largest customer represented 11% of consolidated net sales in 2024.
11%. Is that unusually high?
It's not extreme, maybe, in absolute terms, but in the OEM supply chain for heavy industrial equipment, relationships are often long-term, deeply embedded. Losing a customer representing that much revenue isn't just a hit to sales, it's a massive operational disruption. The sales cycle for forging new OEM relationships can stretch into years.
Right, it's not like consumer goods where you can just find another buyer quickly.
Exactly. So while not extreme, it's certainly a material exposure for PSIX in this market context, something to watch.
Okay, so they've clearly pivoted their business model, moving from transportation towards power systems, especially for data centers. But the crucial question for any turnaround story is, what kind of market are they pivoting into? Are the winds at their back? The sources reveal, well, a very encouraging picture for industrial power. The global industrial engines market itself is substantial. Projections vary, but generally point to it reaching anywhere between, say, $82 billion and maybe up to $324 billion by the early 2030s, with a healthy 4.5% to 6.3% compound annual growth rate, or ACAGR. That's a solid growing foundation, but it's not the whole story. What really catches the eye, and what we've hinted at, is the broader power generation market itself. That's valued in the trillions of dollars, and it's projected to grow at an even more robust 8-9% CAGR.
Yeah, that's massive growth.
Driven by huge global trends, population growth, urbanization, increasing energy demands, electrification. And as you know, the real prize, the immediate catalyst, is undeniably the data center market. The growth here is just explosive, almost mind-boggling. So for PSIX, how do these larger industry dynamics play out? What does this all mean for their future prospects?
That's the critical question, right? And it brings us back to why the data center focus is so central and, frankly, critical for PSIX. It's simple. Exponential growth in digital demand translates directly into physical infrastructure needs. Think about it. AI, cloud computing, massive big data processing, streaming services, they all demand vast amounts of continuous uninterrupted power.
Absolutely critical.
Reliable backup power systems, which are a core offering of PSIX's power system segment, are not just important for these operations, they are mission critical. Full stop. Data centers cannot afford even a millisecond of downtime without incurring immense financial losses and serious reputational damage. This secular growth trend, fueled by the accelerating digital transformation of our world, is without a doubt the most significant near-term driver for the company. It provides a substantial, powerful tailwind that aligns perfectly with their strategic pivot. They've essentially positioned themselves squarely in front of a tsunami of demand.
Riding the wave.
Exactly. However, we have to remember that while data centers are a massive and exciting opportunity, demand for industrial engines, broadly speaking, is inherently cyclical.
Right, it ebbs and flows with the economy.
Precisely. It's deeply tied to broader macroeconomic trends like industrial production, capital investment cycles, large-scale infrastructure spending. For instance, initiatives like the $1.2 trillion U.S. Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act directly stimulate demand for construction equipment and the engines that power them. That provides a temporary boost. Even commodity prices play a significant role. Elevated prices for things like oil, gas, or metals incentivize capital expenditures in energy and mining sectors, which then drives demand for related industrial power equipment. So while data centers provide a powerful immediate growth lever, volatility in these other areas, which still contribute to PSIX's overall sales, remains a potential risk factor. The regulatory landscape is another critical factor, and it's something of a double-edged sword for companies like PSIX. Well, environmental agencies like the EPA in the U.S. and CARB in California are setting increasingly stricter emission standards. We're talking about current standards like Tier 4 Final, which are already quite rigorous. And the proposed Tier 5 standards for 2029 could require up to a staggering 90% further reduction in nitrogen oxides, or NOx, that contributes to smog, and a 75% reduction in particulate matter, PM, those tiny airborne pollutants.
90% reduction, wow, that's a huge hurdle.
It's massive. While these regulations impose a substantial compliance burden requiring significant R&D investment and increasing costs for manufacturers, they also create a formidable barrier to entry for new players. Developing compliant engines requires hundreds of millions in R&D, years of testing, certification. For smaller players, it's basically prohibitive.
Ah, okay, so it protects the incumbents.
Exactly. This actually favors established players like PSIX, allowing them to potentially maintain pricing power and solidify their market position. Because they have the existing technical expertise, engineering talent, and frankly, the capital to meet these exacting standards. It's a continuous, costly race, but one that ensures fewer new entrants can challenge their hard-won market position. This potentially translates into pricing power and more stable margins for those who can clear the bar. And finally, we need to consider the slow but steady technological evolution within the industry. Electrification and hybridization are undeniably long-term disruptive trends.
Sure, we hear about that everywhere.
Right. Particularly for smaller, compact, off-highway equipment used in less demanding environments, or for short-duration applications. However, for heavy-duty, long-duration applications, the kind PSIX often serves, like large gensets or heavy industrial machinery, full electrification still faces considerable obstacles. These include incredibly high capital costs for electric machinery, the current lack of robust charging infrastructure on remote or undeveloped work sites, and just fundamental limitations of current battery technology in terms of energy density, weight, performance in extreme conditions.
Yeah, a giant electric excavator might need a battery the size of a car itself.
Pretty much. This suggests that internal combustion engines, or ICE, and hybrid solutions will likely remain dominant for most heavy industrial applications for the foreseeable future, certainly for the next decade or two. And this is precisely where PSIX's fuel-agnostic strategy comes in again, offering solutions with natural gas, propane, hydrogen, biofuels. It really aligns with evolving customer demands for cleaner ICE solutions without requiring immediate full electrification. They're meeting the market where it is while still looking to where it's going. It seems quite pragmatic.
Okay, so it's clear the industrial power market is huge and growing, especially in segments like data centers. That's the good news. But as you said, it's also incredibly crowded, filled with some of the biggest industrial names on the planet. Where exactly does PSIX fit in this picture? The sources describe them as a specialized mid-tier provider. They're not going head-to-head directly with the absolute giants like Caterpillar and Cummins, the household names everyone recognizes globally. Instead, they've apparently carved out a very specific and hopefully lucrative niche through highly customized integrated powertrain solutions designed precisely for OEMs. Their competitive strength, according to the sources, seems to lie squarely in their engineering flexibility and their wide range of fuel options. That fuel agnostic thing again, this is supposedly their core differentiator against competitors who might be more focused on traditional diesel technology. But who are these giants, really, and how does PSIX actually stand out or even, you know, survive against such formidable players? What are the biggest vulnerabilities here?
Yeah, the competitive landscape is intense, no doubt about it. And it's essential to understand who the main players are. We're talking formidable global giants with massive scale established networks. First, there's Caterpillar, CAT, a dominant global leader renowned for its robust, durable diesel engines and an absolutely unparalleled global dealer network. That network provides a huge competitive advantage in service and support.
Everyone knows the yellow machines.
Exactly. Their industrial engine portfolio is extensive, covering nearly every conceivable application, construction, mining, power gen. Then you have Cummins, another major force, long-standing reputation for high-performance diesel engines across industrial and commercial vehicles. Notably, Cummins is also investing significantly in alternative fuel tech, natural gas, hydrogen engines, so they are a direct competitor to PSIX in that cleaner fuel space, but obviously with much greater resources.
Okay, so direct competition there.
Yes. And finally, there's Kohler. They're particularly strong in generator sets and backup power solutions. Kohler is known for premium quality products engineered for reliability. They directly compete with PSIX's power systems products, especially for critical applications like data centers and healthcare, where uptime is absolutely paramount.
So heavy hitters all around.
Heavy hitters indeed. So how does PSIX differentiate itself from these titans? Well, they do it through several key pillars that allow them to thrive in their specific niche. Their fuel agnostic strategy is paramount. It provides a distinct advantage as OEMs increasingly seek diesel alternatives to meet emissions targets or for operational reasons. Mm-hmm. It offers flexibility that larger, maybe more rigid players might struggle to match quickly. Second, their expertise in customization and OEM integration. This is critical. PSIX's model is built around deep collaboration engineering and integrating complete powertrain solutions tailored to unique customer specs. This high-touch, solutions-oriented approach fosters deep, long-term relationships that standardized product offerings from larger competitors can't always match. It makes them, like we said, an indispensable partner, not just another vendor.
More embedded.
Exactly. And critically, there's their strategic partnership with Washington America Corp, their majority shareholder.
Ah, yes, the majority owner.
This isn't just a financial investment. It gives PSIX access to Weichai's extensive heavy-duty engine portfolio, its advanced R&D capabilities, its global supply chain. This is huge. It allows PSIX to offer a broader range of products, particularly in high horsepower, power generation, and to compete in market segments that would be largely inaccessible to it as a standalone entity without that kind of powerful backing. It effectively gives them a much larger competitive footprint than their own direct resources will allow. It's a major enabler. However, this Weichai relationship is a classic double-edged sword.
Right. There's always a catch.
Always. While it provides essential scale and technology, it also creates a profound strategic dependency. Weichai's 51.1% ownership and majority board control mean PSIX is, by definition, a controlled company. Now, this structure has provided crucial financial and technological support for the turnaround, undoubtedly helping them access capital and tech they might not have otherwise, especially given their past financial struggles. However, it also means Weichai's interests will likely supersede those of public minority shareholders in any strategic decision-making process.
Okay, so the parent company calls the shots.
Essentially, yes. This concentration of power is fundamental to their governance framework. For instance, you could have related party transactions, maybe supply agreements occurring at non-market rates that primarily benefit Weichai. Or strategic decisions might prioritize integrating PSIX more deeply into Weichai's global network, even if that doesn't perfectly align with maximizing PSIX's standalone growth or profitability for minority shareholders.
Conflicts of interest are possible then.
Potentially, yes. It limits PSIX's operational autonomy as a publicly traded company. And we should note, founder Gary S. Weinmaster also retains a significant 14.4% stake, adding another layer to the ownership dynamics, but Weichai remains the ultimate decision maker.
So a complex ownership structure.
Very. But the market does have significant barriers to entry, which inherently benefit established players like PSIX. These include the high capital and R&D investment needed to develop and test modern industrial engines, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. The incredibly complex and costly emissions certification processes for bodies like EPA and CARB. takes years and immense resources. Also, the absolute necessity for established OEM relationships built on trust and a proven track record over long sales cycles. You can't just walk in and sign a deal.
It takes time to build that trust.
Exactly. And finally, the necessity of robust service and support networks. You can't just sell an engine. You need to be able to service it globally. It takes years and significant investment to build out effectively. These barriers make it very difficult for new players to emerge and challenge the incumbents, which helps solidify PSIX's niche despite the big competitors.
Okay, now let's talk numbers. Because this is where the story gets really dramatic, illustrating that central tension we mentioned right at the start. PSIX has gone through a truly remarkable financial transformation. They've shifted from years of significant losses, and we're talking substantial, multi-million dollar losses that would sink most companies, to achieving strong profitability and robust operating cash flow. It's a true turnaround story on the income statement, almost defying gravity. Let's look at the top line first. In fiscal year 2024, total revenue grew a modest 4% to $476 million. Okay, 4%, maybe not earth-shattering. But that overall figure masks the real story, the high-quality growth we discussed. Power Systems revenue surged by a staggering 45%.
45%, yeah. That's the key number.
Exactly. And this trend exploded even further in the first quarter of 2025, with a 42% year-over-year total revenue increase, almost entirely driven by continued strength in Power Systems. This isn't just growth. It's high-quality growth from their strategic focus area, really validating that pivot. The most striking part, though, is their profitability. Gross margin climbed from 23.1% in 2023 to 29.5% in 2024. And get this, it hit nearly 30% in Q1 2025.
Almost 30 points of gross margin. That's impressive for this industry.
It really is. And this dramatic expansion is due to that favorable product mix, more high-margin Power System sales, successful pricing actions to offset inflation, and a substantial decrease in warranty costs from shedding that problem-plagued transportation business.
Getting rid of that headache really helped the bottom line.
Clearly. And they've shown powerful operating leverage. A 42% increase in Q1 2025 revenue translated into a staggering 168% surge in net income.
Whoa, 168% jump in net income.
Yep. While their SG&A expenses, selling, general, admin, grew by a much more modest 17%, the profit literally dropped straight to the bottom line. As sales went up, fixed costs were spread over a much larger base, causing profits to grow way faster than sales.
Classic operating leverage. A sign the model is working.
It's a powerful sign their new business model is inherently more profitable at scale. This is truly astonishing. But here's where it gets really interesting. And frankly, precarious.
And this is it. This is the central tension we highlighted up front. The stark dichotomy that makes PSIX such a fascinating and at times perplexing case study. While the income statement shows exceptional operational turnaround, robust profitability, impressive growth, margin expansion, the balance sheet reveals a precarious financial position. Why? High leverage and near-term maturities. As of March 31, 2025, PSIX had $111 million in total debt and about $50 million in cash.
Okay, so more debt than cash.
Significantly more. Now, they have made progress delevering, which is commendable. They reduced debt from over $211 million at the end of 2022.
So they paid down about $100 million.
Roughly, yes. But T, and this is the absolutely critical point, their primary credit facilities, including a revolving credit agreement and a shareholder loan, are set to mature in August 2025.
August 2025.
Okay. That's just a few months away. Imagine having a top-of-the-line sports car that runs perfectly, but the massive balloon payment is due in 2 months and you don't quite have the cash sitting there. That's kind of the essence of their situation. Now, management has been commendably transparent about this, which is notable. They explicitly issued a going concern warning in their 2024 annual report. This is not a trivial statement. It's a formal declaration required by accounting standards when there's substantial doubt about a company's ability to continue as a going concern for at least 1 year.
Right. It's a serious flag.
It means they've stated that they don't anticipate having enough cash to repay these obligations when they come due without a successful refinancing, extension, or amendment of these debt agreements. This level of disclosure, despite their strong recent operational performance, is a clear and forthright acknowledgement of the critical refinancing risk. It represents the single most significant risk facing the company right now, an immediate existential threat that colors everything else. It essentially tells investors, look, we're doing great operationally, but we need new debt or we're in serious trouble.
Wow. Okay. That puts the operational success in a very different light.
It certainly does. Let's look at some of the key numbers that illustrate this journey, how far they've come, and the financial precipice they still face. Their total revenue, TTM 2024, stands at about $516 million. That's up from around $456 million in 2020. Shows overall growth, but again, the composition driven by power systems is key.
Right, the quality of revenue.
The gross margin percent is at a robust 30.0% for TTM 2024. That's a dramatic rise from just 9.0% back in 2020. That's the pivot paying off.
Huge improvement.
Operating margin percent similarly soared to 18.6% TTM 2024, up from negative 9.1% in 2020. That shows the operating leverage.
From losing money on operations to making nearly 19 cents on the dollar.
Exactly. Net income for TTM 2024 reached about $81 million, a massive turnaround from a $48 million loss in 2020. That's the P&L rocket ship.
Incredible swing.
Diluted EPS reflects this, hitting $3.53 TTM 2024, compared to a loss of $2.12 in 2020. Now for the balance sheet, which presents the challenge. Cash and cash equivalents as of March 31, 2025 were $50 zillion. Total debt on the same date was $111.0 million.
A debt still more than double the cash.
Correct. And finally, shareholders' equity stood at $103.4 million as of March 31, 2025. This last point is a major improvement from negative equity just a few years ago.
Okay, so they're building value back.
Yes, indicating their operational profits are finally building intrinsic value, creating a healthier capital base. But as we keep emphasizing, that near-term debt maturity remains a colossal and immediate hurdle that overshadows all this operational success.
Okay, so with that dramatic financial picture in mind, the incredible operational momentum juxtaposed with that looming August 2025 debt maturity, how did they get here and where do they go now? The recent growth clearly wasn't just luck or broad market expansion. It was disciplined execution of that strategic pivot.
Leveraging Weichai to get into heavy-booty power systems, especially for those big gensets, was obviously key. But what's next? What specific initiatives are supposed to fuel their continued growth, assuming they successfully navigate that critical debt maturity?
Right, assuming they clear that hurdle. The most significant and immediate catalyst, as we've touched on repeatedly, is undeniably the data center market. The source's explicitly steep management has identified this as the primary driver for expected sales growth in 2025 and frankly beyond. It's the AI and cloud computing boom translating directly into demand for PSIX's core products' reliable, high-horsepower backup power systems. This is the bedrock of their near-term growth strategy. They're positioning themselves as a go-to provider for this rapidly expanding mission-critical infrastructure. They are very much riding that wave. Makes sense. Focus where the biggest demand is.
Beyond that immediate boom, they've also identified their aftermarket parts and services business as a large continuing growth opportunity.
The razor and blades model, essentially.
Kind of. It's a classic playbook for industrial companies. As their installed base of engines and power systems grows globally, this naturally becomes a recurring high-margin revenue stream. Spare parts, service contracts, maintenance agreements. This would significantly improve revenue predictability and overall profitability over time, provides a more stable base that's less susceptible to the cyclicality of new equipment sales.
Like a software company building a subscription service.
Good analogy. Sticky, high-margin revenue.
Okay.
Now, while their business is heavily North America-centric, they are making measured steps towards international penetration. They have a distribution agreement with Baudelin, which is a subsidiary of Weichai. This provides a capital-efficient channel to introduce their power systems into markets across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, EMEA.
Okay, so using the parent company's network.
Exactly. It represents a prudent, capital-light approach to expanding their geographic footprint without needing massive upfront capital investments in international sales and service infrastructure. Leverage the existing setup. And looking even further out, maybe longer term, the Weichai relationship provides a crucial pathway into future powertrain technologies. Weichai has a portfolio of new energy products, things like battery storage systems, hydrogen engines, electrified components. This access gives PSIX a potential long-term hedge against the eventual decline of the internal combustion engine market. It allows them to participate in the broader energy transition rather than being potentially left behind if electrification accelerates faster than expected, particularly in heavy-duty uses.
This is a strategic option for the future.
A very important strategic option, ensuring they have a seat at the table for future power solutions whenever that future fully arrives. However, despite these compelling growth opportunities, there are significant headwinds that could impede their growth trajectory. We need to be realistic. The broader industrial engine market, while large, is mature and intensely competitive. Constant pressure on pricing and market share, especially from those giants we discussed.
Caterpillar, Cummins, Kohler.
Yeah. Long term, the shift toward electrification is an existential threat to their core ICE business, even if it's expected to be slow in heavy-duty applications. It's coming eventually. And finally, economic cyclicality remains a major risk. A downturn in construction, energy, or even a pause in data center buildouts, maybe due to oversupply or rising interest rates, would directly impact their sales. They're very sensitive to capital expenditure cycles.
So, still vulnerable to the broader economy.
Definitely. Given this whole scenario, their capital allocation strategy is understandably highly disciplined and focused. The primary use of cash generated from operations is unequivocally debt reduction. It is all hands on deck for that August 2025 maturity. Priority number 1, 2, and 3.
Makes sense. Survival first.
Absolutely. They have no history of dividends or share repurchases, and their existing credit agreements explicitly restrict them from doing so anyway. Reinforces this focus on deleveraging. Capital expenditures are modest, averaging about $5 million annually, focused on targeted investments, like expanding their Wisconsin facility to increase manufacturing capacity for the growing power systems segment. R&D spending is consistent, around $20 million per year, aimed at developing new products for data center power and ensuring continuous emissions compliance, especially for those tough Tier 5 standards coming up.
So investing in the core growth areas and staying compliant.
Exactly. While M&A, mergers and acquisitions, are mentioned as a potential avenue in their filings, the current priority is clearly on organic growth and aggressive deleveraging. Significant M&A activity seems highly unlikely in the near term. Their focus is almost entirely on shoring up the balance sheet and fueling organic growth in their core profitable segments, hashtag VADR. Leadership, governance, and the elephant in the room.
Okay, so we've dissected the strategy, the market, the competition, the financials, the operational triumphs, and that looming financial cliff edge. Now let's talk about the people steering this ship. The executive leadership team includes CEO, C. Dino Sikas, who's been with the company since 2010, and CFO, Sun Kenneth Line-E. They seem to have a very strong background, right? With key members having experience from major competitors like Cummins and Caterpillar, this kind of industry veteran leadership suggests a deep understanding of the market, the tech, the operational nuances. And their execution capabilities appear robust, wouldn't you say? I mean, given that they've successfully navigated this incredibly complex strategic pivot, moving away from a core problematic business and orchestrated this remarkable financial turnaround, they've not only talked the talk, but clearly walked the walk, achieved tangible results in revenue growth and profitability. But there's that big question about who truly holds the reins. Sarah?
Right. And what's fascinating here is their communication and transparency, particularly regarding that financial tightrope walk. The going concern warning we've discussed is a prime example. It's a candid, upfront assessment of their critical refinancing risk. It provides investors with a clear, unvarnished picture of their most significant challenge. This level of disclosure, even amidst strong operational performance, shows a commitment to transparency that's quite notable, especially for a company in such a precarious spot.
Yeah, they're not trying to hide the ball on that one.
No, they're not sugarcoating the immediate financial hurdle. This transparency, however, has to be viewed through the lens of their governance structure. This raises the important question. How does this all play out with their governance, and what's the elephant in the room here? The elephant is undeniably Weichai America Corp. It's 51.1% ownership and majority board control.
The controlled company status.
Exactly. As defined by SEC rules, a single entity holds more than 50% of the voting power. Now, this structure, as we said, provided crucial financial and tech support for the turnaround. No doubt helped them access capital and tech, especially given their past troubles. However, it also means Weichai's interests will likely supersede those of public minority shareholders in any strategic decision-making process.
So minority shareholders might not have their interests perfectly aligned with the controlling shareholder.
That's the inherent risk. This concentration of power is fundamental. Conflicts of interest could arise. Imagine scenarios where related party transactions like supply agreements happen at non-market rates, primarily benefiting Weichai. Or strategic decisions might prioritize integrating PSIX more deeply into Weichai's global network, even if that doesn't maximize PSIX's standalone growth or profitability for minority shareholders. It limits PSIX's autonomy. And remember, founder Gary Weinmaster still holds 14.4%, adding another layer, but Weichai remains the ultimate decision maker. So beyond the immediate refinancing risk, which is paramount, number one risk, other critical risk factors bear repeating because they define the longer-term challenges for PSIX. leverage concerns. Even if refinanced, their balance sheet will likely remain highly leveraged. This makes them vulnerable to interest rate hikes. Higher borrowing costs could eat into those hard-won profits. It also makes them more susceptible to distress in a downturn, constraining future investment.
Less flexibility.
Much less cyclical exposure. Their revenue is directly tied to highly cyclical markets, industrial manufacturing, construction, energy, data centers. A slowdown in any of these could hit their sales hard. Customer and shareholder concentration. Reliance on a few large OEM customers is a risk. Losing one would hurt. And that strategic and financial dependence on Weichai is a major risk. If Weichai's priorities change or its support waivers, that could fundamentally alter PSIX's position.
Leaving minority shareholders in a tough spot.
Potentially. Supply chain disruption. Their global supply chain exposes them to geopolitical and logistical risks. They've had issues before, like with UFLPA enforcement impacting component imports. Future trade issues, tariffs, disasters could interrupt production, raise costs, commodity price volatility, costs of raw materials, steel, aluminum, precious metals for catalysts can fluctuate. Passing those costs on isn't always easy or immediate without affecting competitiveness. Could squeeze margins.
Always a challenge for manufacturers.
Always. Regulatory risk. Finally, and crucially, that constant need to invest heavily in R&D to meet ever-tightening emission standards, like Tier 5. It's a constant technological race. Failure means fines, recalls, losing market access. A significant ongoing challenge.
Okay, so PSIX is truly a company with incredible operational momentum, dramatic turnaround, nearly 30% gross margins, explosive growth in its key segment. But it also carries this looming, undeniable financial challenge. That debt maturity, the going concern warning, it's an incredibly complex, almost binary picture. How is the market valuing this? What stands out to you here when you look at how investors are pricing this stock, especially given these, well, contrasting narratives?
Yeah, it's fascinating. The valuation of PSIX has undergone a dramatic re-rating. The market clearly recognizes the operational turnaround and that exposure to the high-growth data center market. However, its current valuation multiples trade at a significant premium, not just to its own history, but remarkably to its larger, more established peers like Cummins and Caterpillar.
A premium to Seton Cummins.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. For instance, its enterprise value to last 12-month sales multiple EVLTM sales is around 4.1x. That's more than double Cummins' 1.6x. Its EVLTM EBITDA of 22.2x and price to last 12 months earnings PE of 25.5x also carry a substantial premium to these giants. They're trading around 9.0x to 15.8x EBITDA and 17.0x to 19.3x PE, respectively.
Wow, okay, so the market is paying a lot more for PSIX's earnings and sales compared to the big guys.
Exactly. It strongly suggests investors are valuing PSIX based on its superior projected growth prospects, especially in data centers, rather than its current scale or historical stability.
Yeah.
They're essentially giving it a growth stock multiple, despite being in a traditional industrial sector. But what's truly astonishing, and maybe even, you know, a bit alarming, is the speed of this re-rating. As recently as the first quarter of 2024, the stock traded at a PE ratio of just 1.76x.
At 1.76, it went from under 2x PE to over 25x PE in just about a year.
In about a year. That's an almost unprecedented re-rating for an industrial company.
That's kind of nuts.
It is. Its current 25.5x PE is significantly above its 3-year, 5-year, even 10-year historical averages, which are all below 7.0x. This highlights a fundamental and rapid shift in market perception. From seeing PSIX as a distressed, low-margin manufacturer with legacy issues, to seeing it as a high-growth, technology-oriented provider for the booming data center industry. The market is essentially saying, the old PSIX is dead. Long live the new, high-growth, high-margin PSIX. However, this current valuation is highly sensitive to two critical factors. First, the continuation of these remarkably high growth rates. The market is pricing in sustained 40% plus revenue growth and 150% plus earnings growth. That's a high bar.
Very high bar to keep clearing.
Second, and critically, it's sensitive to the successful and smooth resolution of its near-term debt maturities in August 2025. The market is pricing PSIX for near perfection. It implies strong belief that not only can the operational momentum be sustained, but also that the debt issue will be seamlessly resolved without any punitive terms or dilution for existing shareholders.
Pricing imperfection. That sounds risky.
It means the market has very little room for error. If even a single assumption continued hypergrowth or a completely smooth refinancing doesn't pan out precisely as expected, the downside for the stock could be substantial. It's a classic case where the potential reward for being right might be overshadowed by the sheer magnitude of risk if you're even slightly off. If we connect this to the bigger picture, there's just a profound disconnect between the story told by the equity valuation and the one told by its credit profile.
Yeah, the stock price story versus the going concern story.
Exactly. The equity market sees a high-growth, seemingly de-risked company willing to pay a premium for future potential. Meanwhile, the company's own regulatory filings, that going concern warning, highlight a material immediate risk stemming from its inability to repay debt maturing in less than a year without a successful refinancing. This creates a highly binary risk profile for investors. A successful refinancing on reasonable terms could indeed validate the optimistic valuation, removing the biggest overhang. But any difficulty, delay, or punitive terms in securing that refinancing, well, that would force the market to severely reevaluate the company's true risk profile and almost certainly lead to a sharp contraction in its valuation multiples, bringing it back down to earth, possibly very quickly.
So a huge swing factor hinges on that refinancing.
Absolutely. It's a stark reminder that even a company executing brilliantly on operations can be brought down by balance sheet issues. Hashtag tag 80. Key questions and final thought.
Okay, so we've unpacked a lot about PSIX. Their strategic pivot, the powerful market tailwinds, their competitive niche, and that dramatic financial roller coaster, the operational triumph versus the very real going concern warning. We've seen how they move from basically a problem child business to potentially a high growth, high margin machine. But the sources also highlight some critical questions that remain for us to consider, questions that really define the long-term outlook for this company. So what does this all mean for someone trying to understand PSIX's true health and future? What are the big questions still hanging out there? First, how sustainable is PSIX's competitive position amid ongoing industry consolidation, especially given its niche approach versus those giants? Can they keep punching above their weight, or will the bigger players eventually squeeze them? Second, what's the true long-term impact of electrification trends on traditional engine demand? And how will PSIX really hedge against that inevitable shift, even if it's slow in their core heavy-duty markets? Do they have a compelling plan B beyond leaning on Weichai?
Good question.
Third, how effectively can management continue to execute on margin improvement? Can they maintain that impressive nearly 30% gross margin in a competitive market facing commodity volatility and pricing pressures? Fourth, what would be the optimal capital structure for PSIX? Considering its business cyclicality, how far are they from that ideal scenario where debt isn't an existential threat every few years?
Right, getting off the treadmill.
Exactly. And perhaps the most central question, given that profound disconnect we discussed, how does PSIX's valuation compare to its intrinsic value under different scenarios? The incredibly optimistic bull case the market seems to be pricing in, a more moderate base case or, you know, a concerning bear case if that refinancing falters or market conditions turn sour.
This raises an important question for you, the listener. When a company's stock price reflects almost perfect future execution and growth, almost as if all potential risks have been entirely dismissed, but its core financials simultaneously reveal an immediate existential threat like a going concern warning, what truly carries more weight in your assessment? Is it the operational momentum, the exciting market narrative, the promise of future growth? Or is it the looming financial precipice, the balance sheet risk, the very real possibility of default? It's really a decision between the potential of what could be and the undeniable reality of what is right now on the balance sheet. And consider this as a final provocative thought. PSIX's current narrative is one of triumph and transformation, a true phoenix rising from the ashes of past losses. Yet this entire impressive story hangs precariously on a single August 2025 deadline for its debt maturity. The market has placed its bet, giving the company a premium valuation, seemingly confident in the turnaround complete story. But what if the going concern isn't just a regulatory formality or a temporary hurdle that will be smoothly overcome, but a real possibility? What implications would that have for how we assess and value similar high-growth stories, especially those that come with heavily leveraged balance sheets? Or for companies that rely on a single critical event, like a refinancing, to validate their entire investment thesis? It's a fundamental question of risk, reward, and the true cost of operating on borrowed time.
We hope this deep dive into Power Solutions International has given you a shortcut to being truly well-informed, maybe providing those aha moments about the complex interplay of strategy, market dynamics, operational excellence, and, crucially, financial health. If you found this insightful, imagine what we could uncover in a deep dive tailored just for you from your own sources. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep sending us those fascinating topics. Until our next deep dive, stay curious.